Is number 16 in the Healing Example Series. And I would encourage you to go back over. You can go back on the internet and find all of these. When you go on the YouTube channel, you can find the Wednesday nights. And, you know, just go back through and listen to some of them. I'll tell you, you need to be hearing the word on healing on a consistent basis in your life. You cannot have faith for something that you don't have word for it. If you have word on a subject, okay, then your faith can be developed for that. But if you, and that's why some people have come to me and they said, well, I have a lot of faith regarding the forgiveness of my sins, and I'm good with that, and that's wonderful. But I have a hard time believing for healing. Or I have a hard time believing for my financial increase. I have a hard time believing for peace in my family and all this stuff that people fall into. Well, the fact is, whatever it is that's a need in your house, in your life tonight, you need to be hearing word on it. So if it's healing, I would suggest that you hear the word on healing. Amen? If it is regarding, you know, the forgiveness of your sins and you being a new creation in Christ, then I would suggest that you hear the message regarding your salvation. And get into the word in those areas. There are a lot of messages out there. I mean, on our YouTube channel alone, we've taught a lot of stuff on various subjects. But, you know, if you want faith for the glory of God, you need to hear the word on the glory of God. It's just a simple principle. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But faith for healing doesn't come by hearing the word on, you know, church history. Church history's neat. And all those, I had, you know, classes on that in Bible school, and that was cool. But, you know, if I need faith for healing, then I need to hear the word on healing. Amen. If I need faith for prosperity, I can't hear just a once in a while, you know, given it's given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's a wonderful verse of scripture, but you need to hear more than that regarding your financial lives. Amen. So open up to Matthew chapter 8. And title of the message tonight, and it's interesting, and I titled it this way under the direction of the Lord, Able and Willing. And there's a reason I didn't say willing and able. Some of you were thinking, you know, he's willing and able. And maybe you didn't think that, but the Lord said, put it down as able and willing. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord is not only able, he's willing. It's not enough for you to know that he's able to do something. Even an agnostic will say, well, if there was a God, or an atheist would say, if there was a God, I guess he'd be able, right? I mean, that's not a stretch to say that. You know, I mean, if there was a God, yeah, I guess he'd be able. If he really was the one who did all this that you Christians claim, then yeah, I guess he'd be able. Well, a lot of people can say that. It's one thing to know that he's able. It's another thing to know that not only is he able, he loves you so much he's willing to do that, that his ability will bring forth in your life personally. So if you have need of healing, he's not only able, he's willing. He's willing to do it. Amen? Matthew chapter 8. We're going to begin there in verse number 1 tonight, and this is that incident with the, talking about the leper, and actually we looked at this already, but we're going to look at the man and the healing of the centurion's servant a little bit tonight. When he was come down, verse 1, Matthew 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Let's just stop there for a second. You know, a lot of people in the church today, not necessarily Solid Rock, but in the church throughout the earth, have this question of whether or not it's God's will every time to heal. And people come up with the weirdest, craziest, most unscriptural excuses that, you know, it wasn't God's will. Have you heard this one? It was the perfect healing when they died. Well, I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but that's not in the Word. Now, I know a lot of preachers have put that out there. I know when those OSU basketball players and the pilots were killed in that plane crash back in the early, was it 2000s or late 90s, whatever it was. I think it was 2000s. Late 90s, whatever. The guy got up and said, you know, God needed some cowboys in heaven. That's not true. You know, you want to bring comfort, but that's just not true. He needed another angel. Guess what? People don't turn into angels. The angels are the angels. People are people. And this craziness that you see and hear, people talking about, well, you know, we have cardinals at the house. I feed cardinals. I went out yesterday, and I was putting some food out early in the morning, and there was a cardinal right around the corner when I went out, and it flew right in front of me. I'm like, what are you doing, man? My heart just, you know. And they wait for me to put the seed down. But I don't think for one second that was my dad trying to jump out and scare me. Huh? You know, that borders on witchcraft if you really want to know the truth of it. People are not birds. I know the British call women birds, but that's not true. They're not birds. Do you hear me? And if you walk out of the building like what happened here one night and there was an owl up on the roof, a woman in the church turned around and said, oh! I said, what? She goes, an owl. That's an evil omen. I thought, well, what? No, that's an owl. That's what that is. Come on, stick to the word, man. Stick to the word. You know, your loved one who went on is not coming back. You know, that's that reincarnation thing. That's of the devil. I've got news for you. It's not okay to believe that. Well, I got 3-4. Yeah, amen. Huh? Yep. Amen. You know, and the other side of that is they don't turn into angels in heaven either. Or you know, my dad's watching over me. No, he's not. My father God is, but not my dad. He's in heaven. I think they can get reports about what's going on. I would, you know, assume, but I don't even know that. If it's something bad, they're not hearing it in heaven. They're not hearing about the sin in the earth up there in heaven. There's no crying there. There's no sadness there. That kind of stuff brings sadness, brings anger. Now, God knows what's going on, but the creation, not in that respect. When you do something that promotes the kingdom of God, I think there's a cheer in heaven. Even the angels rejoice when somebody gets saved, right? So that stuff that sometimes gets twisted and tradition and all sorts of goofy stuff starts being preached about it, and it's just flat, you got to go back to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So I know y'all aren't, you know, there goes my dad. No, that's not true. It's not him, you know. So, I mean, the people in India believe that stuff in reincarnation, you know. Reincarnation's not of God. Can I hear a big amen? Okay, so here, a lot of people don't believe that it's always God's will to heal. A lot of people in church. This guy right here, the leper that came in verse 2, worshiped the Lord. He said, if you will, or if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus didn't say, you know what, not this time. Mm-mm, not my will. Nope. How many times in the Word of God do you see where Jesus ministered to the multitudes? You know, we have some examples of individuals being healed and all, but we also read that he healed the multitudes. Did he ever heal somebody that probably wasn't such a good person? Guarantee you did. In those multitudes, the power of God swept through and people got healed. And you've heard of instances like this where people came in to mock the preacher and got, you know, laid out on the floor from the power of God and got up and were born again, received Christ and came in. One, I heard a report of one guy came in. He was going to wait for Kenneth Copeland after the service, and he wanted to kill him. Huh? He had a gun. Brother Copeland told the story, and the guy just, he kept seeing this big angel behind Kenneth. I mean, this was a guy who came in there for no good. And it frightened him. Now, he eventually did get saved and all that, but he didn't go out and wait for him, not with that big dude following him around. It's, I mean, and it wasn't just like a guy a little bit taller than Kenneth. It was like a giant, you know. Yeah, amen. Well, let's go. So the leper was clean. Jesus made it very plain. I will, be thou clean. I will. Now, tradition, we'll try to, again, I told you about some of the traditions out there. Tradition will try to twist things, and the word doesn't then have any effect in lives. Jesus even said that your traditions have made the word of no effect. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11, do you remember this verse of Scripture? The Bible says in that verse that he will quicken your mortal bodies. You remember that? It's talking about your physical body. Now, we need our physical bodies to be in good health, right? Come on, it's the truth. If we're going to function properly in our lives, our bodies need to be strong. That's why it's a terrible thing when you have a pain. And Jerry, that's what I was referring to yesterday in that text with you. My back, I had pushed it. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to keep going and doing the things I need to do. And it was not feeling too good. So when you, in the morning, I put my Bible and my devotion on the couch. And it's a bend about like this. And I said, Ann, come over here. Yeah. It hurt. You ever have something like that where it, like, oh my goodness. Well, that was some foolishness on my part. God didn't do that to me. He didn't do it to teach me anything. It's like, I'm hearing her actually right now. You know, you shouldn't do that kind of thing. When I, you know, I picked that thing up and I was like, man, it was heavy, but I did it. No, you did it all right. Yeah, sure. But anyway, but he will make alive your mortal body. If your body's hurting, it makes you less effective in your witness for Christ. Yeah. Makes it hard to do anything if you can't move. You know, well, I, you know, the Lord laid me on my back so I would look up at him. There's some of that tradition that is nothing but a lie to get you out of faith. That's not true. God did not put you on your back. He didn't cause that injury in you. He didn't tell me to lift that thing. That was me. See, years ago, I did. No trouble. You know, that was just the day, you know. Oh, goodness. Anyway, you guys are not in a good mood tonight, I can tell. But anyway, it's all right. It's all right. I love you. Praise God. So, jump down to verse number 4. Jesus saith to him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Well, he was healed. They were supposed to present themselves before they could reintegrate back into society, because they had to shout, you know, unclean, unclean, when they were coming in. I mean, it was a serious thing. Very communicable disease, and they had to live in separate areas. If a body died, they nobody would touch it. They'd be burned. I mean, it was just all sorts of stuff for the lepers. So this was a wonderful healing. Jesus said, it's my will. Now look at verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Grievously tormented. Do you see that? Grievously tormented is a phrase that actually, some of the versions read he was racked with pain. He was constantly tormented in his physical body. One version read that he was paralyzed. Torment is a word that connotes the what goes on in hell. People are tormented in hell, okay? The rich man and Lazarus, remember? That rich man was there, and he was being tormented in the flames, amen. So this man, a friend of this centurion, he was his servant, but he was more than just a servant. He deeply cared about this guy. And he was being tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Wonderful, wonderful, again, revelation of what Christ wants to do in the life of a believer, somebody who will trust him. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, look at this, he marveled and said to them that followed. Now, who's he saying this to? He's saying it to the 12, isn't he? Okay, so he said, verily or truly, truly, a statement of absolute truth. I say to you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Peter's, you know, like, oh, well, I guess that includes me too, right? James and John, Andrew, I mean, just go down the list of the 12. I've not found so great a faith. And this guy is not like one of the Pharisees or one of the religious leaders of any sort. He's a soldier. And yet, he had faith greater than any, and to make Jesus marvel? Do you realize that how far you have to go to make the Lord pay attention and marvel? Jesus marveled at his faith. That's a serious thing. Wouldn't you want Jesus to marvel at your walk before him? Shouldn't that be our, goal in life? That Christ marvels at the faith that you and I walk in? Or does he go, yeah, man, these guys, they just don't get it? Because so much of the time with the disciples, the 12 apostles, it was like, you guys don't know what spirit you're of. You're fighting. You want to sit on this side. You want to sit on that side. The others hear it, and they want to beat them up over it. I just read that the other morning. I mean, the disciples were a competitive bunch. Peter, you know, the moment some little bit of distress happens, he pulls out the sword and wants to take a guy's head off. I mean, these are, they're very carnal in a lot of ways. And Jesus, no doubt here, I mean, he's marveling at this guy's faith, and they're all standing around, you know, this group. And he's like, well, I'm marveling at this, but I'm not marveling at y'all. Now, eventually, they did some wonderful, wonderful things, and I'm not trying to, you know, in any way come against the disciples. They were good guys. yeah, right. Look at he says in verse 10, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. With great faith, and look what the man said, back up in verse 9, I'm a soldier, I'm a man under authority, he has soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go and he goes, and to another comes, and he comes, to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. What you have to see is that with great faith, and this man had great faith, goes great humility, okay? And he also had great honor toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another big one. Now let's jump over to Luke chapter 7 and read the parallel account. And keep in mind here, this version in Matthew's account appears to say that the centurion was the one, where it said in verse 5, Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Did you see that in verse 5 of Matthew 8? Okay, keep that in mind. A centurion came unto Jesus beseeching him. We're going to hear kind of a little different story in Luke 7. And this will lead some people to say, see, I found a discrepancy. Let me tell you something. The word does not contradict itself. It does not. God doesn't say one thing and then, and you know, well, they didn't get their story straight. That's what the world would have you think. Matthew said one thing, but look, Luke said something different. Somebody's lying, right? That's what people think. That's what a lot of folks have tried to do, but they just don't understand. There's a simple explanation for this. Luke 7, look at verse number 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, let me ask you this, what did he hear about Jesus? Did he not hear of the wonderful miracles that Jesus was doing? Did he not hear about the ability that was resident inside of Christ to raise the dead, cleanse the lepers? I mean, all sorts of stuff. He was hearing. He was hearing. There were large crowds following Jesus. The centurion had heard of Jesus, and when he did, he sent unto him the, look at this, verse 3, the elders of the Jews. Now, wait a minute. I thought it said the centurion went to Jesus. It did in that other account. But here we find out that it, in actuality, it was the elders of the Jews beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Understand what the whole context is of this story is about. It's relating to delegated authority, is it not? Right? I say to this one, do this. I'm under authority, and I've got people under authority that are under my authority. I can tell this one, go and do it. And he did. He told some to go, and they went to Capernaum is what happened. But when they got there, they were speaking for the centurion, and with the authority of the centurion having sent them, it was like the centurion was standing there. That is what needs to be understood, that delegated authority, when you and I are here in this earth and we're speaking in the name of, listen to me, in the name of Jesus. When you lay your hands on a sick person, say, in the name of Jesus. It's like Christ is right there. It's not like he's there. He is there. Do you realize he's here tonight? The Bible says where two or more gather in his name, I'm right there in the midst. This is talking about delegated authority. So this was on purpose done this way to emphasize the point, to emphasize this very point. I have men under me, and he sent them to Capernaum. Matthew, when he recorded it, he understood a certain amount of that, obviously. These were sent from him. It's like the centurion was standing here himself. Let's go on with this. When he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews beseeching him. So that was a form of intercession, wasn't it, for the elders of the Jews to beseech him, that is, beseech Christ, that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. There's one of the versions that reads that actually he built this synagogue at his own expense and with his own money. That's impressive. But I will say this, that when Christ ends up going with them, it's not because of that. That was not the reason that he went. But what's interesting to me is, you know, a few weeks back we were looking at the nobleman whose son needed to be healed. Do you remember that? And you can go back and find it on, again, on the channel. But the nobleman was this guy, and he expected Jesus to go with him, and Jesus said, uh-uh. In fact, he kind of ignored him. Y'all remember that? The nobleman's son. And this nobleman was a wealthy guy, had a certain amount of authority, and he kind of expected when he snapped his fingers that people would jump, and Jesus didn't do that. And so he sent them back and said, you know, and then he inquired about at the time when the boy recovered, and that he knew it was at the time that Jesus prayed, right? You can go back and look at that. But this is kind of a parallel account, but with a different attitude here. This man, this centurion, he was over at least 100 different, 100 soldiers in the Roman army. The Roman army was the most powerful army in the world at that time. Okay, they occupied this area. He could have ordered Jesus. He could have had Jesus dragged over to his house. Right? Come on, the soldiers could have showed up. I mean, here you're going to do this to God again, you know? But they could have come over there but no, this man had respect and honor for Christ. He had great faith, is what he did. So go on in verse 6. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. See that? Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. So what he's saying is, I need an order from a superior, right? I need an order from a superior. I'm used to giving them. I'm used to receiving. I need an order from a superior. I understand you have authority over this stuff. Just say the word. Say the word. Well, the centurion understood the chain of command. He understood it in the natural, but he also had a grip on there is a chain of command in the spirit. And I'll say this, you and I need to know this, and we need to continually fall back on it. We have authority over the devil. And I don't care what the situation is. You've got to go back to that altar. You have authority in the name of the one that you represent right here in this earth. When I grew up, and as a Catholic, we were taught that the Pope was the visual representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. That's what the church taught. The Pope. Now, the Pope is not the only. If he's born again man, then he is to be an epistle read of all. It doesn't matter if he's got that hat on or all that gold and all that stuff. Every believer is a visual representation in the earth of the Lord Jesus Christ as an ambassador. And so you and I, that's us. That's us. Every believer, not one. Isn't it just like the devil to try to make it like one person? One person. And in reality, there's, you know, millions and millions and millions of us in this earth. But when you say in the name of Jesus, as an ambassador, as one with authority from another land, your motherland, if you will, is heaven. You hear me? And you have authority, and it's delegated authority. In my name, you cast out devils. And when you say in the name of Jesus, that's just like Jesus is standing right there speaking that. It's just like Jesus is laying his hands on the sick when you lay your hands on the sick. Why? Because Christ in you is the expectation of that glory that will manifest. I tell you what, we are in this earth. We've been given the keys to the kingdom. Man, I mean, the more I think on that as a one who has authority delegated to him, we need to be much, much more serious about the fact that we have authority. And don't bend to anything. Amen. So this man had been hearing about Jesus. He had been hearing about his ability. He had been hearing about these miracles that went on. And so he asks for him to come and heal his son. So he knew about the ability, and I've pointed this out to you before, but it may be new to some of you or a deeper revelation on this truth. So Jesus is coming, and he's a long ways off, and the man sends some people out to meet him. And they go out and say, don't bother. You don't need to come under the roof, you know, and that's where these words are said. Centurion sent friends to him, verse 6, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself. No, wait a minute, he just walked how far, right? You're going to stop him when he's that close to the house? What's going on there? Okay, he knew he was able, but upon the centurion, upon seeing Jesus with the entourage coming up the road, or over the hill, or wherever it was. Now he knew not only is he able, he's willing to. And he said, tell him to come no further. I got it. All he's got to do is say the word. All he's got to do is say it because of the chain of command and because of the delegated authority that he had from on high. I mean, man, this story just explodes. There's an anointing here right now. There's an anointing here right now. Come on, bow your head with me. Delegated authority is powerful. Just as Matthew recorded it as the centurion was there himself, in reality, the centurion was how many miles away who sent people there in his name, and it was viewed as the guy was standing right there. So what about you and I? Let's go ahead and stand up. What about you and I? You and I have Christ living and dwelling on the inside of us. It is just like when we lay hands on the sick. It is exactly like Christ is doing it. I didn't say you were Jesus. I didn't say you're God. You're not. You are a human being. But you are one of God's children. You are one of the Lord's ambassadors here in the earth. And with the delegated authority that has been handed to us, it's been delegated to us. We have great responsibility with that authority. We can say in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Receive your strength. Receive that situation turned around in the name of Jesus. I'm fired up tonight. I mean, I'll tell you what. This revelation of the delegated authority and how it's brought out in the incident and the apparent discrepancy, that just marks it even more for you to say, well, okay, I get it. I see why the Lord had it done that way. It's brought out now. That's how that works. That's how it works with us. Amen. When we pray, when we lay hands on the sick, when we cast out devils, it's in his name. And it's just like he's right there doing it. Bow your head with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and bless you tonight for healing in the bodies of those that need healing. In the name of Jesus, the healer. The God who came to heal. He is the one who sees and provides. He is Jehovah, Jehovah Yireh. He is Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha. The one who blesses our bread and water and takes sickness from our midst. The greater one who lives and dwells on the inside of us. The almighty God who lives and dwells in me, who lives and dwells in you as men and women, boys and girls of God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for healing out there right now tonight. There are some on the internet tonight healing that need healing. There's some that need healing in their neck. There's a healing happening right now in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing. I don't know what that's all about. Maybe it's a vertebra out of place. Something's going on. And receive your healing in Jesus' name. Take it. Just simply receive it. The Lord had called out something on that order on the internet one night. And I never did tell you. Somebody texted me or typed me or called and left a message here. I forget how it worked. And they said, that was me. And that was right. Straight on, the Lord healed me right there on the spot. I forgot to tell you all that. That was kind of cool. Because I was wondering after I put that word out, you know, was there anybody, you know? And then, that happened. In fact, one of those weeks here in the church, and nobody responded within the church body, and I just kind of let it go. I knew what I had heard God, but I'm not going to argue about it. I can miss too, you know? And I just let it go. And the next day, later that afternoon, I got a phone call. That was me. You were talking to me. I just didn't want to get up in front of the church. But I said, okay. Whatever. It's not a pride thing like, hey, you know, I hear from God. Yeah, I do. But I didn't hear from him the other day when I lifted that trailer. I can tell you that much. So we're humans. Do you hear me? Amen.